Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad that you're with us today on New Life. If you want to join me and Dr. Sherry Keffer and our very special guest, Ken Harrison, who is the president and chairman of the New Promise Keepers, well, you can call us right now, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours with Ken Harrison, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Larry's sitting in, too. He'll talk in a little bit. But we'd love to have you, 1-800-229-3000. But before we get to Ken, I got to talk with Dr. Keffer, because we just had one amazing weekend, our marriage weekend, and we had some folks filming this weekend as a documentary. You'll see it in the future, because, you know, we have about 75% of the people want to get a divorce when they come, and we have about a 95% success rate. And so I co-facilitated a group during this with Becky Brown, and I'll tell you, it was just fascinating to not only be teaching with Mylon and Kay, but to watch people have these moments of insight that changes everything. You know, when it says in Romans 12:2 that you could be transformed by changing the way you think, well, that just seems so simple. You know, one translation says, renewing your mind. Another, the New Living, says changing the way you think. So, well, that just sounds so simple. But I'll tell you this, probably nothing harder in this world than to change the way you think. And to see a man go from understanding, I'm angry and I'm justified, to I'm scared to death and I use this anger to cover it. That's a pretty major, bold move. But I want to tell you, if you want to see your marriage change, you should come to our marriage weekend. It was really quite an experience. Of course, Dr. Keffer, you've done these. You've experienced this all the time. But I got to tell you, I'm the new guy on the block. I don't think I'll ever do a group again. It was just so draining. You know, I'm not a trained professional all the time. I do radio and I speak. But it was amazing to see Becky do that kind of work.
Well, anyway, you bring up a really good point, Steve. Our weekend intensives often peel back that layer of the onion that nobody's gotten to yet, because you haven't looked at it as closely. But that insight that gentleman got over this weekend is going to give him everything he needs to start taking a step towards transformation. We can't heal what we don't know. We can't heal what we don't see. And so guess what? His eyes got opened up this weekend, and that is going to give him a new path to step towards.
So true. I'm writing an article for Christian Counseling Today about religious trauma, and there are all sorts of religious trauma, but the most common is the traumatic effect on a person when they have a very deep problem, like this guy did, and you go to somebody who is in an authority position in the Christian faith, and they give you a Band-Aid on this horrifically deep problem. And it's just horrible, because whatever result or outcome you're looking for, you don't find it. And you go back to Jeremiah 6:14, where it says, they treat the mortal wounds of my people with superficial treatments, and they don't even blush. They're not ashamed. I'll tell you, we weren't doing superficial treatments. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing superficial about Ken Harrison, and he's got a great book. It's called Rise of the Servant Kings. And this is a book about being a man. That can be a little bit confusing at times. So we're going to talk with Kim. We're going to talk about promise keepers. We're going to talk about how God is calling men to action, to masculine servanthood, to being not just a wimpy, old, caring guy, but a strong, compassionate man. We'll be back right after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages, and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Ken, welcome to New Life. You've been on before, and we loved having you, so we're having you here again today. Welcome.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you'd actually have me back, but thanks.
Yeah, you know, I love it when I get to ask back. In one place, I got asked back 7 years later. I thought, well, that took a while. But anyway, we didn't take that long with you. And a couple of things, you know, Ken is the CEO of an amazing foundation. They oversee millions of dollars a month go into God's kingdom. It's called Waterstone. And he didn't start there. He started out as a police cop, a street cop for LAPD in the Watts Compton area. Now, once you do that, you have now become qualified for anything in the world. So, but just has a great history of ministry and service. He's a Colson Fellow. He's done so many things, served on many boards, including Fellowship Christian Athletes. But he has a book and he has a mission, the mission of Promise Keepers and bringing back male or the Christian masculinity, the male identity in the Christian faith. And so, Ken, let's start in the beginning here. Let's talk about the book just a little bit, because it's so powerful when a man gets hold of truth that can transform his life. The Rise of the Servant King. Servant King. What a great, great title or label. Tell us about the Servant King.
Well, it's just the basic idea that all of us men are called to be kings as servants. So if you're a single man, you're accountable for what's going on around you. If things aren't right, then you make them right. You don't look around for who else is going to make them right. If you're married,
right,
you're responsible for the spiritual state of your kids and your wife as a servant, not as a dictator. And, you know, we go by Ephesians 5:25, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? He was tortured to death for her so that he could present her blameless and spotless to his Father in heaven. And that needs to be our attitudes with our families, is that
absolutely,
our goal in our marriage is we cherish our wives so much that we want to present her blameless and spotless to our Father in heaven.
Hmm. Absolutely. And this whole thing of the dictator doormat relationship because of submission, if you start Ephesians with 5:22, you try to just stay there. But 5:21 says, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. Then we got about 40 words for women on how to submit. Then we got about 90 words for men on how to die to themselves as Christ died for the church. Now, it takes twice as many words for us men. And I got to tell you, given the choice between submitting to a wonderful leader versus dying as Christ died for the church, submission isn't so bad. But we got to be the leader that's worthy of this submission. And when you're dying to yourself and she's submitting to a man dying to, that's what we call the mutually submissive marriage that works. No dictator, no doormat. And it really is a servant king. Now, let me tell you about a guy and a label that my wife and I have for him. He wants everybody to meet his needs. He gets upset and throws his toys when somebody doesn't feed him the way he wants to be fed. He's essentially kind of looking for people to give him what he wants. And we call that person not servant king. We call that person king baby. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of men walking around. They think they look really good. But when you look, you go, yeah, he's kind of like a big baby. And anything doesn't go well, we get a big baby temper tantrum. But if I was a man, and I actually am one. I play one on television, and I am one. But if I was a man and I was wondering, okay, just tell me one thing today I could do that would come closer to me being what Christ intended a man to be. What would be one thing I could do today? Don't have to have a lot of therapy to do it or whatever. I could just do this right now. What would you say?
Well, let me give you the biblical answer, and then if that's too ethereal, then maybe a more practical one. But
I like starting with the Bible.
So you Absolutely. Started with Romans 12:2, and we'll go to 12:1. Yeah. Make your body a living sacrifice daily. And then 12:2, we get that awesome promise. If we renew our minds by making ourselves a sacrifice daily, then we can know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So people say to me, how do I know God's will? Well, you make yourself a sacrifice daily, and you renew your mind around God's word. So if there was one thing you could do, now if that's a little too high of a stretch for men, I would say that each man needs to start to look at the world around him and understand he's responsible for that world. If there's something wrong with his wife, if there's something wrong with his kids, with his home, when a man understands it, gives himself permission to lead. So after the LAPD, I used to run big companies, and one of the biggest struggles I had was with middle management, trying to let them understand that they're responsible, that they give themselves permission to lead. And I would go to our office in New York or Cincinnati or wherever, and they would give me a list of the problems. And then I would say, well, you need to tell the managing director about that. Well, I'm the managing director. Oh, well, then I guess you're the one who's responsible to fix those problems, aren't you?
Right.
For a man in our family, we need to think that way. If my wife is upset, what do I need to do to change in myself? Not what does she need to do to change in herself. Let's start with us. And so if you're out there listening, what's the first step toward being a man? The first step is accountability.
Okay. Now, this is why I really like what you're saying, because you said that a man's responsible to deal with it. It's different to be responsible to deal with something or to manage or handle something versus I caused it. You could be a great father, and on the way home from school, your child, you don't know about this, but let's just say someone snatches him up, abuses your child. You didn't cause that. You just did what every other dad did. Okay, but now here's where the responsibility is. You got to know your child well enough, be connected enough to know, wow, something's different here. Something's happened. There's a trauma here. Now I've got to deal with it. You didn't cause your wife to come into your marriage with the wounds she did. Maybe it was a horrible relationship with dad, or it was such a great relationship, nobody could ever live up to that. You didn't cause that. Mm-hmm. But you're responsible as a man, rather than get angry or to reject or try to control. Your responsibility is to deal with that. And if you can't, if what you've been doing isn't working, you get the help that you need to respond. So responsibility and blame are two totally separate things.
So let me throw a zinger in for you two gentlemen.
Here's the
as
zinger.
I'm sitting
you got
here
two
listening.
Type A's here. You're going to have to really fight to get in.
Let's just be real. So
Zing.
50 to 60% of our men have been caught up in some type of secret life, some type of secret behavior through pornography. You know, we've got a problem, and men cannot lead if they're compromised on the inside. Men cannot step up if their hidden sins, hidden acting out is compromising. It like cuts them off at the knees. And so I'm thinking about a gentleman by the name of Conrad who went to Every Man's Battle. He and his wife, Kathy, have been connected to us here at New Life. And this is what he said. He said, Sherry, I knew I was hiding stuff and I was acting out behind Kathy's back. And the more knowledgeable she got, the more she started getting educated about my behaviors and what was going on. He said, I started getting angrier at her. I started pushing back even more because I knew she was on to me. And so what do we say to those men who, by fear of not wanting to be found out, how do we call them up into responsibility and come out of hiding so they can get the help they need?
You know, living in blatant rebellious sin makes cowards of every person. Living in blatant rebellious sin makes a cowards of every person. One of the reasons why the church is so feckless and useless in many ways is it's filled with cowardly men, and it's filled with cowardly men because they're not repenting of their sins.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely true. Totally believe that to be true. And here is, you're not just calling out the problem, but you've got a great book on, literally, it's kind of a handbook on how to get it right. If you're a Christian man and you're married, you got a family, your work, you got friendships, it's right here in this book. If you call us, we'll get a copy to you. Rise of the Servant Kings. Ken wrote it. Now he's going to launch Promise Keepers, and we're going to reinforce all of this. Sherry, I want to comment on this man who he said she was on to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's when we come, we've got the 20th anniversary of Every Man's Battle coming out with all the brain science in it. So here's what we've learned, that a man, when he has a sexual experience with pornography, yes, there's dopamine, there's that spike, and the same thing you get with heroin. It's not as strong, but there is a mood alteration. But there's also oxytocin, a bonding hormone. That's the same bonding hormone that women secrete when they nurse a baby. It bonds them together. And then it causes her supernaturally to go after anything that is a threat to what she's bonded to. So the cave woman, she's bonded to her baby, loves that baby. Here's the lion at the cave door. She will go out there and kill that lion because that lion's a threat to the baby she loves. A man bonded to pornography, when his wife is onto him, she is the lion at the cave door. And he doesn't even know this. It's a hormonal, supernatural effect of being bonded to the pornography. Anything that's a threat to what he's bonded to, he wants to attack it, destroy it, and he doesn't understand. How did I go from loving this woman so much that I hate her now? Literally, he will say that when he's, I hate her. Guess what? You got to stop this secret sin because you're bonded to your secret sin. Pornography is not just looking at pictures and videos, buddy. It is destroying your relationship with God.
That's right.
And with her. All that's in the new edition of Every Man's Battle. Now we got an Every Man's Battle this Friday. You don't have to wait for the book. You can go get this taken care of this Friday by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I want to go to the phones. Let's go over here and talk to a real live human being. Let's talk to Hillary from Ontario. She called us 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us. Hillary, welcome to New Life.
Thank you.
How can we help today?
I have a question. I've been listening, and some things have sinked in a little. But I first heard of you on Friday, and there was a guest there with similar circumstances, but not similar. So my question is, how do you know when to move on when you've been betrayed? There's shame involved because of who the person is. And how come my reaction wasn't sooner, if that makes sense?
Okay. What did he do? What's the big infraction in the relationship?
Without going into too much detail, he needed to go to prison for abuse of power.
Abuse of power? I don't understand.
Power in his position. He was former minister.
He was a minister. He abused his power. Does that mean he had like an affair with somebody in church, or he hit somebody, or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of an affair, or he did have an affair? Just so we have really clarity, Hillary. He got involved with someone in your congregation.
There was two things. Yeah, there was two things. There was a definite affair.
Okay.
But there was also this other incident involving a 16-year-old.
Oh, that's what I was looking for.
That's why I went to prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so you're asking if you should move on.
Yeah, because
okay,
right? He has made it very clear that he figured it was a mistake that we got married in the first place after he got out. And he wanted a divorce. That was over 2 years ago, and he still hasn't pursued it. But
okay,
now
so he went to prison for this. Yeah, he went to prison for this, and he got out, and he said it was a mistake that we got married anyway.
Instead of it's a mistake that I acted out sexually on a 16-year-old. That's interesting.
Hillary,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you why. It was time to move on a long time ago. I'll tell you why that is right after this. 1-800-229-3000 to join us.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Hillary. Our guest, of course, is Ken Harrison, President, Chairman of Promise Keepers. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He's the author of Rise of the Servant Kings. And earlier I mentioned this scenario of a man called King Baby. And Hillary, I deal with so many men who will say this: what a blessing it was that I got caught. It was when I got caught that everything changed for me, and I started a path to become the man God called me to be. And that is not the case, even for your pastor husband who went to prison after statutory rape, or whatever they would officially call it, having sex with a 16-year-old. So I have no question of saying to you that this is, that when a man is not repentant, when he shows no remorse, even after being in jail and the humiliation, and comes out and says to you, we should have never gotten married. What does that have to do with anything? But I want Sherry to talk to you and and your heart, and then I'd like to hear what Ken, as we wrap it up, what Ken has to say about the whole situation that you got into with, and his prognosis or his outlook on it. But anyway, Sherry, let's talk to Hillary for a little bit.
Yeah, so you said, how come my, you know, I didn't react sooner. Are you talking about sooner, meaning over the term that he was in jail, or are you talking about reacting sooner like you didn't see it before he went to jail?
Well, both.
Okay.
Both, but more so the second, only because I also realized I was going through major health issues at the time, which ultimately meant financial problems, bankruptcy, just lost my career, everything.
Oh,
and
I'm
still dealing with them.
Yeah.
And he was not. So like, it's because I was dealing with so much at the same time, and then I lost my only living relative. That made me totally alone because we have no children.
I'm going to let Ken speak to that in a moment, because during the break, he was thinking out of your heart, and I want him to touch that place because it was very compassionate. Let me just say this. In my book, Intimate Deception, there's a chapter that I highlight what's called the Dirty Dozen. And the Dirty Dozen are those layers of impact, multiple layers of impact that happen when sexual betrayal comes into our world. There's the discovery trauma, right? There's when you first found out. There's financial trauma. There's loss of community, loss of home, loss of support. It's like a tsunami hits your world and we lose our footing. You know, we're just trying to catch our breath because of it all. So I would have you peel back some of that shame you might feel for not having reacted sooner, because truly you were doing the best you could. But now that you have clarity, and like Steve said, you have clarity of where he's at coming out of prison. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we hold out hope while they're in prison. We think that somehow magically they're going to get the truth, that somehow that bad situation of sitting in a jail cell and, you know, having all your rights taken away from you, you think it's going to wake them up and that somehow they're going to get the bottom is going to be brought up to them. But he's not there, because he's minimizing your marriage at this point. He's and he didn't get any intervention, right? There wasn't somebody there.
Well, he was. He was supposed to have been in one of our treatment centers, and supposedly there was all this counseling and
so forth. Well, guess where he's at? He's in denial. He's still in denial. Denial is, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to go there. I'm avoiding this because I'm not going to let go.
It's all about me.
I'm sorry?
And he says it's all about, I've got to take care of myself. Everything is me focused.
Me meaning him or you?
Him, yeah.
Yeah.
Him.
So, but he's not getting to the core of the issue. And so your question to us, because he's not in touch with the damage that he's caused. Mm-hmm. He's being more self-focused. It's all about me, right? Instead of, I've damaged my wife, I've damaged a 16-year-old, I've damaged a church, I've damaged a community, I've damaged somebody else as a parishioner, I've damaged a lot of people. That is called humility. Ken, you brought up a really good point about what it must have been like for her, and I just thought you might want to share that.
Well, let me just say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, Hillary, I want to make sure you know that this is not your fault, because any man who goes after a 16-year-old girl has a rot in his soul that only he's responsible for. Secondly, we talk about cowardice, rebellious sin results in cowardice, and to the audience out there, this is exactly what I mean. A man who blames a woman for his own sins, that you can't get any more cowardly than that. But right. Hillary, lastly, I just want to say that the thing that may be holding you back is a need for security, that change. Uh-huh. Sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And God our Father says that he will be a husband to the widow. And in this case, if you get on your knees and give your whole circumstance to the Lord, He will come alongside you. And I know it's scary, but I think that you sound like someone who might be just worried about the change and a lack of security. You give it to the Lord, and He will take care of you.
I am so glad that you called, and I'm going to send Sherry's book to you. I think it's going to be a powerful book for you, a great encouragement. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Our very, very special guest, Ken Harrison. As we have said, he's the author of a very powerful, wonderful book, and I just love the title, Rise of the Servant Kings. It's really what the Bible says about being a man. But Ken, before we go to our next caller, if you want to join us, we're here for another hour and a half, 1-800-229-3000. Tell us about Promise Keepers, and what is your vision for Promise Keepers as we come to a brand new decade here, 2020?
Well, it's not much of a vision. I just want to change the world. We are getting
together. Yeah, but other than that.
Yeah, other than that. 80,000 guys at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, home of the Dallas Cowboys, next July. Mm-hmm. Okay. The football stadium, they had to cut a hole in the roof so that God could watch his favorite team, is what I'm told.
There you go. Hey, listen, you're speaking my language. I was raised with Roger Staubach and Tom Landry. I'm a fan, so and it's going to be there.
And I'll tell everybody, there's two things that you hear constantly, I mean, by hundreds and hundreds of men. The first one is the feeling of hearing 80,000 men singing Amazing Grace. I've had guys tell me in tears, the movement of that, the feeling that I'm not alone is really something when you see all these other guys searching for the Lord the same way you are. And the second one is younger men in their late 30s to mid-40s telling me, man, in fact, I was Southwest Airlines running to the gate late, and the gate agent saw me wearing my Promise Keepers fleece and came running up to me and accosted me. Literally, he got so emotional that he forgot the situation. He grabbed me and he said, "Oh my gosh, Promise Keepers, that was the best moment I ever had with my father."
Aww.
I've heard that hundreds of times.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
So we want to get guys together and just teach them God's word and give them. There's something about it when men are together and there's no women around. Sorry, ladies, but
that's
it's just
fine.
True. Guys take their mask out off.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be macho and protective. They get to be vulnerable in a way. Women always wondering what's happening when men get together. Pretty much nothing. But the one thing about when guys want to be together alone, it's because there's no one that they feel compelled to protect and all that stuff. There's something about that vulnerability. And that's why these boys, 12, 13, they go with their fathers, and their father finally tells them he loves them, you know, grabs them by and hugs them. And it's really something.
Well, I remember the Phoenix event, and the publisher created a small paperback version, and we passed them out, Every Man's Battle, to all the pastors that were at that event. It was such a great time. Max Lucado spoke there that day. And then when I talked with Doug Geisweter, who you work with, the foundation, Doug's such a great guy, and he said, hey, we got to get you and Ken together because you really... We're so aware of the impact that pornography has on guys and lust and affairs. And it's such an impact on the church, the divorce rate, the miserable married rate. And I just so appreciate you wanting to be sure something's done at that level. So I just am excited about what you're doing. I have people all the time saying to me, have you met Ken Harrison? Have you talked to him? Because they honor your wisdom, discernment, and sometimes people that lead stuff, you know, they do weird things. And people aren't saying that about you. They say that about me. But they're saying you really do have a solid vision and strategy that literally could change the lives and hearts of manhood in America. That's what I want to see. Not just a few Christian men here or there, but America. So really want to help you in any way. If somebody wants to be part of the movement, whether it's from a church perspective, serve, attend, what's the best thing that they could do today?
There's three things, and one of them is for women.
Okay.
The first thing is buy tickets because they're just now on sale, and we're announcing the speakers in early December, and they will be godly men who bring God's word, but it's not about the speakers, it's about the movement.
Yeah.
Buy tickets. Bring people. Bring your son. Bring somebody who doesn't have a father with you.
Nice.
Go to your pastor and say, how many hundreds of men are we going to bring to Promise Keepers? The second thing is, if you want, you can go on our website and become an ambassador. To become an ambassador, you have to apply. We do a background check on you. You have to have a letter of recommendation from your wife, gasp, and your pastor, which means you actually have to be going to church. And then we actually will fully train you about how to mobilize churches in your area for this, what I think is going to be a huge revival of the church. I'm actually calling it a revolution. Thirdly, for women, there is two things we have. One is called the Hannah Calling, which is for women of prayer. They get on the phone regularly and pray for the state of men and the church and Promise Keepers. The other one is called the Esther Calling, which is for women leaders who want to be proactive, because we know that if women are behind us, it'll be more powerful than if men are behind us. The sad truth is, the way the church is today, that if women go up there and shake their pastor by the lapel and say, how many men are we sending to Promise Keepers? What are we doing? It'll be much more effective than if the men do it. So we have put together women, we're starting in Texas and then outward, but who want to get involved at a level for Promise Keepers that says, I'm going to be responsible for getting the churches together, and I'm going to call out the men and say, you need to get the Promise Keepers. So those three things, tickets, men ambassador, women, Esther Calling or Hannah Calling.
Love it.
Well,
love
I'll
it.
Tell you why I think this is the right strategy. Women of Faith succeeded for 20 years, not because individual women said, hey, I think I'll go down to the arena. Busloads of women, organized by churches, drove to the arena. And so men ministries need to organize and get a busload of guys and drive, ride 500 miles of a road trip or whatever, 50 miles in that bus together, bond together, go to that event. And they're not going to do it if the pastor and the folks in that church don't say, hey, come on, let's do this. And that is where the revival hits America.
And one more thing that I left off, which should have been obvious, but I'm not that bright. But if you give me two chances at it, I can make it.
Got it.
Women, please help us out on social media, because we've got to get the word out. There are so many desperate people out there, and they hear Promise Keepers is back, and it gives them hope. If you would go on to Promise Keepers, Facebook, Instagram, etc., like our stuff, repost our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have some really great quotes and content out there. Just get the word out and get out there on your social media and say, hey, guys, buy tickets. Women, for Christmas, buy tickets for your husband and your two sons and get them to the Promise Keepers event.
And I want to say one more thing, and then I know we're going to go back to the radio. Your book is really captivating. It is written for men. You know how men, I think the stats say men read one book a year? If this is the book that sits on the coffee table that gets them curious to pick it up, my adrenaline went up in the first chapter. I mean, it is written like some kind of a movie that captivates men's hearts. So if you will reach out to us today at New Life, buy the book through us, and you can support us at New Life, but also get it on that coffee table. It's a great way to get your guy peeling back the pages to where he's going to go.
There's a bunch of violent cop stories in there.
There are. It's crazy. Yeah. It's made my hair on the back of my neck stand up, but that's what guys like.
Sherry's never said that about any book I've written, Ken, so I really think people should pay attention. All right, let's go to Lauren. Dallas, Texas, KWRD is the station. Lauren, you're on with Ken and Sherry and Steve. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this afternoon?
Great. What's going on? How can we help you today?
Well, I came in on the tail end of the conversation when you advised that part of the husband's role is to support his wife through trauma once she has experienced trauma. Mm-hmm. And my question is, what would the husband's role be to support his wife through trauma, and what is the wife's role to not make that too much his problem?
What's the source of the trauma, Lauren? What happened to you?
Well, this is something that there was actually a sexual assault that occurred twice in my lifetime, which I have received therapy for and overcome. Mm-hmm. However, during those seasons, I do tend to have a little bit of a difficult time with the triggers and the reminders.
Sure.
And in that, the course of that, I've asked my husband for just additional support on those difficult days and to do a couple of extra things, but he advises that it's not his problem. And that he's not meant to be my counsel, and that I should receive professional help.
Okay. I'll let Sherry get us started here, because there's a little bit of truth and a little bit of false truth in all of that. So, Sherry, take it.
So let me just be really honest with you, Lauren. I have had a lot of trauma in the light of sexual violation with my former husband, Connor. And I'm married to a husband now. I've been with him 6 years, and I call him my kinsman redeemer. But you know, my dear, I get it. I get triggered. Triggers, we don't go looking for them. They find us, and I can hear that the triggers for you are on the anniversary dates of your sexual assault. And those things are as real as the nose on your face. And your husband may just not know what he knows, right? And maybe listening to us as we come back after this break, we're going to talk about how real it is to validate what's coming up in you. And so I just want to normalize it, and I want to call him up to be your kinsman redeemer, because he can really help support you during those difficult times.
All right. And men, it is never appropriate to respond with this, "It's not my problem."
She said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and we're talking with Lauren. And, you know, rather than a husband ever saying, it's not my problem, we need that husband saying, hey, wow, I hear you. I understand. Let's see if we can get some help or find a solution. But it's not my problem is different than what we were talking about in the beginning, where we accept some responsibility to help with whatever problem is there. Sherry, when you hear Lauren say this, what's going on in your mind?
So I'm going to put your husband's moccasins on for a second, and let me tell you what I think happens in many men's hearts around this sexual assault. Is for him to care for your heart, it means that he's going to have some feelings around your feelings. He's going to have to get in touch with some of his own hurt, fear, dissonance over the sexual violation, the assault that happened to you. And so a lot of men unknowingly move away from that because they don't want to feel what we feel. And so we can feel so abandoned and disconnected. It takes a lot of bravery for a man to step into his own feelings and still hold us at the same time. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, and we've got to get beyond it. Ken, what do you think when she says that might be his fear or his reluctance or why he reacts that way?
Well, you know, I mean, I've always told people that empathy is the beginning of leadership. The ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes and walk around in them for a while, as Harry Truman said. And it's important that Lauren, are able to make him understand how you feel. And also, you're not the man in the relationship, you're not the leader in the relationship, but also ask, well, why might he be responding that way? What is it? It seems really shockingly dismissive of your feelings and the horrible trauma you went through. And we don't know enough to know why he would act that way. Is he that big of a jerk, or is there something else that we don't know?
What do you think, Lauren?
He's incredibly resilient over things that have happened in his past, and so I think he has the mentality that you should just pick yourself up by the bootstraps and be over it. And since it happened so long ago, it shouldn't be anything that affects you at this point. And if it still affects you, then you haven't healed, and you still have some work that you need to do, and it's not his position to help you with those things.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of work have you done?
I've gone through all the therapy for PTSD, for triggers, and I've done really well over time. It's just the specific time of year, it just gets really, really difficult. I get a little bit more anxious, and I feel a little bit more overwhelmed as I'm planning for a birthday and doing these things, and I worry. But it's around my son's birthday. It's always on my son's birthday, and so I have a little bit of a hard time, and I try to remove myself from the situation. So maybe I need a little bit more help with the children or planning so that I don't become emotional, because it's just always on that day. It becomes rather difficult.
You might, if you haven't done some EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, you may try that.
I did do that one.
Okay. So, and I have two, girl, and I still have triggers. So I think what I'm hearing from your husband is he is trying to fix you or think you should be fixed, but we're not fixed. Correct. We're human beings, and you're living not with an open wound, but you're living with a scar that around the anniversary date gets triggered. And so if we can help him understand that, he can actually learn how to hold space. If I want you to go online and look up a YouTube video by Brené Brown on empathy. It's 2 minutes, 47 seconds. I want you to watch it, and I want you to sit down with him and watch it. And really, that's what you're asking him for. It's just to come down that dark hole with you a few days a year and sit with you in it.
Well, I want you to hold on I want us to try to find a person in your area that you guys could sit down with, and we've got plenty of them in the Dallas area, where you could get on each other's team. That's the real problem. And I wish that everybody with every problem that they deal with could just move on. But I got to tell you something. If moving on doesn't lead us to compassion, we haven't moved on. Every spiritual awakening, according to the guy that wrote the first book on it, if it's not awakening us to love and kindness and compassion, it's not an awakening. It's a coping that we're into. And so I think there's a little bit of work that he might need to do beyond just those original symptoms going away. Now, here's what I'm going to do, Lauren. I want to send you Sherry's book, Intimate Deception. I think it's going to be great for you. It's going to be healing. And I would hope that maybe you could come to our Restore workshop. And guys, you've heard about manhood here. And Friday, we've got Every Man's Battle workshop coming up. And that's the place you can get this part right. You can still get in. And if it's money that's troubling you, we'll find a way to get you there. Don't let money stand in the way. In fact, I talked to a guy who had no money. And I said, you call them and you tell them, I got to go. And if that means paying so much a month to do it, but there's scholarship. And that can help you take this bottom line manhood and get it on the right track. Well, as we close out the program, Ken, I thank you so much for being here. And I want to encourage people, Rise of the Servant Kings. That's the book. You can get it from us. Ken Harrison is the author. It's really about Christian manhood. Ladies, buy this book right now. Call us and give it to your husband. It's a gift to him, but it's a gift to you. If they're interested in Promise Keepers, what do they do? What website or Facebook page or where do they go?
PromiseKeepers.com. It's got a lot of content on there. I do want to say about Every Man's Battle and about your workshops and your book. Fellas, if you're listening to this and you're struggling with this, I want to give you the straight scoop. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. Because it's better to go into heaven with two eyes than with one eye than into hell with two eyes. We forget, and we don't teach the harsher words of Jesus. It's pretty harsh. Yeah. And that means if you're sinning in this way, you need to get help and you need to stop now. Whatever it takes to do. So stop wavering around, stop making excuses, stop procrastinating, and get to that workshop and get Steve's book, because your wife is counting on you. Your kids are counting on you. There is no way, if you're struggling with that garbage, that your wife feels cherished by you. There's no way you're able to teach your son proper respect for women and self-control, and there's no way that your daughter is learning self-esteem from you. That there is a disease and a rot in your family, and you need to get rid of it now.
All right, Ken, thank you for that. Ken Harrison
that was
is
awesome.
The CEO of Promise Keepers. Now, as we close out this program, we've got another program after this. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Larry, we're in a battle for manhood. We're in a battle for honor of the Christian faith. How can people help us in this battle?
Well, I love that you are talking about scholarship money, because if you know, we just had this weekend, Intimacy and Marriage, and at the end of the weekend, people volunteer to get up and share what the weekend meant to them. And some of those people that stood up said, thank you for giving us the scholarship. We couldn't have been here without it.
That's right.
And so we've got more workshops coming up this year yet. And I had a note from our finance director while I was on the trip that said, our scholarship fund is getting a little too low, so could you please find some folks to help support it? So I'm coming to you today and asking if you believe in what this ministry does, you believe that the effect and the impact that what we do, how it's honored by God, how the Holy Spirit comes in and changes lives, Please make a gift to the scholarship fund today. We need it.
We used what, $250,000 last year or so.
It was up there. Yes.
So it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and just say, look, I want this to go to a scholarship for somebody that's trying to find sexual integrity. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you'll do it, we'll send you a copy of the calendar. Maybe there's something else that we could send you if you need it, but we want to say thank you, and we'll do it in a big way. Club New Life, I send you 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Peace, Prayer, Character. Well, anyway, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.